I shared with Marion a few weeks ago. Well, actually, it was I shared with Craig. Where's Craig? Craig and I were talking, and I said, you know, it seems like it's the hardest thing for me to really get the mind of the Lord to what to speak on. It seems like when I know that I know what he's gave me, it comes. But man, I almost sometimes even struggle, maybe is the word, where I go, oh Lord, this, I'm going to be preaching in a couple of weeks. What do you want me to say? What word do you want me to give to your people? And Craig said, I think it's time to preach on commitment. Well, this week, early in the week, I was at the bank, and I run into a guy named Anwar. Anybody know Anwar? I know you all know Anwar. He owns a lot of convenience stores. Yeah, you all know. Great guy. He used to own the Gene People up on Main Street. Owns a lot of businesses. Very wealthy man. And I've always known Anwar is committed to Allah. He has bumper stickers on his Lexus that says, I love Allah. Well, I run into him at the bank at 5:30, and we started talking. How you doing? And so I invited him to church, and he's like, oh, Paul, you know I committed to my church. You know I've been going there for 30 years. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And I just tried to invite him. He said, in fact, I got to go. It's 5:30. I got to be there. Now, I knew he was committed, but I didn't know where he was going to church. He's been going to church for 30 years in Spartanburg. Yeah, wow. Guess how many days a week he goes? Four? No, not five. Every day. Right. 7 days a week, Anwar drives to Spartanburg. Said, I've not missed church in years. I go every night. I give praise to Allah. Go to the Muslim church. I asked the name of his church. He just said, it's a Muslim church. Anwar, he's a great guy, and he is a committed fellow. I went home after that and was talking to Marion, and I said, I'm going to go study and ask the Lord what I need to speak on. She never says anything. She never says, you need to speak on, you know what she said? I think you need to speak on commitment. I'm like, man, you and Craig have got to be related. So guess what I'm speaking on this morning? I'm no dummy. I can hear the Lord when he speaks. So we're gonna speak on commitment. I looked up some synonyms of commitment: attachment, fidelity, consistency, dedication, devotion, faithfulness, loyalty, piety, steadfastness. Have you ever noticed most of the people who have really affected this world have been committed people, dedicated people, people that had a great drive, an unfailing desire to do great things? I did a little Google search on Abraham Lincoln and pulled him up. I couldn't believe how many elections that guy's lost. I couldn't believe how many times he failed to get into Congress. And he kept striving, became president of the United States. I read this week about Thomas Edison and how many hundreds and thousands of filaments that he failed before he found the right one that created that light bulb. I read about Leonardo da Vinci and some of these great inventors, and how many times they failed, but they had that drive to keep going. They had the commitment, and they had the dedication and that undying determination. But yet some of us are content to sit at home on the couch, eat popcorn, and watch The Bachelorette. Now, I watch that show a little bit every once in a while, but that's the only TV show I ever watch. No, I'm just kidding. You know, if you're a couch potato, I'm not fussing at you. I'm just encouraging you to get off the couch. I got up in the attic last night looking for something, and I actually found a couple more things. I was I joined a community organization in 1988 called the Marion JCs. There were over 100 chapters in North Carolina. It's kind of like the Rotary Club, the Kiwanis Club, Civitan Club. It was just a community club. And man, as soon as I got in there, they made me feel like family. They started giving me responsibilities, giving me some things to do. You know, the president came to me and said, you know, I see something in you, and I want to pull that out. And he started giving me responsibilities. I mean, I went with that thing. And that first year, I ended up becoming, I'd forgot I even had this, ended up being JC of the quarter in Western North Carolina. Now, this and a quarter will get you a really bad cup of coffee, okay? But at the time, I thought it was pretty cool. And the next year, I kept working harder and harder and actually was JC of the quarter for the state of North Carolina. And they asked me if I would be president. Now, listen, there was only six people in the group, you know? So it was easy to draw the short straw, you know what I'm saying? And I had like three vice presidents and a treasurer and a secretary, so everybody had something to do, you know? But the president of the North Carolina JCs came to Marion to meet with me, a little group of six people, and he said, you know, I see something in you. I see some dedication and commitment, and I want to help you. He said, to build this, you need to find busy people, committed people, dedicated people. He said, don't look for couch potatoes. He said, if they ain't working, it's because they don't want to work. Find people that's really busy. And I'm thinking, man, I'm really busy. I got a full-time job. I'm teaching piano students. I'm playing and singing. I'm doing weddings. I was Mach 2 with my hair on fire. And I realized I still had time for what we wanted to do. And by the end of that year, we had 15. And by the end of my second year, we had 30 people in the Marion JCs. We were committed. Man, we adopted the five lane out there. There was a big sign that said, Marion JCs, adopt the highway. We adopted the highway and kept it clean. One time I found a $20 bill picking up trash. I'm like, that's cool. Now, one time I was out there by myself picking up trash. But as the group grew, more people came, and we got to be a family. We got to be committed. We started having free car washes. The first time I ever saw one in Marion was 25 years ago, free car wash. We just had a free car wash, and people would come give us $20 bills, $15, $10 to wash their vehicles as a fundraiser. We would stand out here. It used to be Daryl Ford. We'd stand out there about five or six or ten of us maybe with little muscular dystrophy cups to raise money. And Marion and I was on TV twice, given over $1,000 to Darcell Grimes. You know, she wears tennis shoes. You know, you'll see her, she's all dressed up because they don't show her feet. She walks around tennis shoes. She's a pretty cool lady. But, you know, the Marion JCs, we had the circus. We had the circus come to town. Now, sometimes I feel like a ringmaster here anyway, so we could do the circus. But my thing was, we were committed. We were committed to just getting out and helping people. Back then, you had to pay $40, and you could only be 40 years old. Once you turned 40, they kicked you out. You could only be 39 or younger. So you could only go after people from, like, age 21 to 39. That's all they wanted in that group, you know. But I looked, we started a project called Coats for Kids, where we got on TV, we got on the radio, and we asked people, bring your coats and bring them to the cleaners, and we'll have them cleaned. And we're thinking maybe 30 coats, 40 coats. We got over 500 coats for kids and gave them out into the schools. And our little ragtag group ended up winning the local community development award for the entire state. Marion and I had to drive all the way to Raleigh for a ceremony. At this little county of 100 chapters, and we won the first place award. That and a quarter gets you another bad cup of coffee. The point I'm making was about a little small group of people just dedicated to trying to help some kids with some coats or trying to wash some cars to raise some money for muscular dystrophy made such a difference in this county for that season. Now, after 2 years, I was just bombed out and quit, you know. You know, I felt like I was getting, what do you call it, burnout, getting burnout. But here we've got such a committed group of people working for such a bigger goal than just trying to help some kids with coats. We can do that too. But we're not just looking at helping them physically or financially. But the most important thing is changing lives. Changing lives, one disciple at a time. That's what's important. And we've got to have vision. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there's no vision, the people perish. So let me ask you, do you have vision for more things in the kingdom of God than things here on earth? The Bible says in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's great to have goals. It's great to have dreams to believe in. It's great to have a vision and be determined to get to those goals and set those goals. If we don't have a vision, church, we don't have a focus, and we end up perishing. There's nobody I know that has more vision than Jim Jackson. That guy is eat up. Deb Gray, is he not eat up with vision? John? Jim not? I remember, he's not here so I can talk about him. I remember Jim when he asked us to do a CD and to put a group together and to do a CD for his conference. Now you talk about a vision. He gave us like a $14,000 budget, and he ordered 5,000 of these things. I'm thinking, man, we can never get rid of 5,000 CDs. Well, we still hadn't got rid of them. It's been 10 years, and we've still got about 500 of them left. And if anybody wants one, there's always a box back there on that table. They're free. They probably have a price tag on them, but you can, you know, if you want to bless the church, you can put something in the offering, but you're welcome to take those. But Jim is a visionary. He's always had he's always thought big, real big. What do they say? Shoot for the stars, you may hit the moon. That's you know, we've got to have vision. I'm going to read our vision statement just so you'll know what the vision of this church is. Our mandate is to build bridges of unity between all races, all generations, and all denominations, so God's purposes and God's plans will be fulfilled in His kingdom. Our purpose is to allow the Holy Spirit to create an atmosphere of worship as this morning, as a dwelling place for God to come and tabernacle with His people. And last, our desire is to see souls saved, delivered, healed, and set free, building His kingdom and changing lives one disciple at a time. And we can do that. We've got to be a family. We've got to be together. We can't just do it on Sunday. It was such a blessing yesterday. We, I don't know, had 15 or 20 people coming in here, and people were working. It was just like an ant farm. Everybody going everywhere and just doing what was needed. Two people can't do it. Four people can't do it. It's got to be a team effort. Kenny, it's good to see you this morning, man. You were such a blessing when we moved out of the building. There was one day that Kenny came, Kenny came and brought his truck. I don't know what we had done because it was raining, and he's the only guy I know with a truck with a cover over it. And we moved stuff, and it was such a blessing. And Jason, and I shouldn't call names because we'll go on and on. Jamie was here yesterday painting bathrooms. Who picked out yellow for the men's bathroom? We're going to repaint that. I think we're going to wallpaper it. We're going to put one wall NASCAR, one wallpaper NFL football, and one fishing. There's a vision. That's right. You're anointed to do wallpaper, brother. But there's so many people have helped. Many people have helped us financially. They say, you know, I can't come and work due to health or due to jobs or due to whatever, but just want to put a little in the offering plate to try to help, and that's such a blessing. Thank you so much. I went on the internet and did a little Google a couple days ago. So if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. It says there's 100 million church members in America. So the average Sunday school in America is 66, and the average worship service is 84. I don't know, Michael, count, see how many we got this morning. Probably close. If Christians that go to church really believe in heaven and hell, really believe in heaven and hell, Whew. If Christians really believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell, why are we so silent? Man, in the JCs, we weren't silent. We had the Boogie Woogie Man come to Marion to wrestle. Remember Boogie Woogie? All you old timers, don't look at me. You know who Boogie Woogie Man is. I know you're into wrestling. We had the Boogie Woogie Man come. We had the Franz and Brothers Circus come with all them stinky elephants. Man, we were on the front page. I was in a Dunkin' booth on the courthouse lawn and got a picture of myself with no shirt on the front page. Son, I looked good back then. That was 25 years ago. Son, we were always in the paper or on television. We were, you know, after the JC stopped years after I'd quit a couple years later and they just kind of folded, people would say, man, we really miss that. We really miss seeing you guys. We really miss what you did. Somebody took up that Coats for Kids project and kept it going, and they're still doing it, I think, at Holiday Cleaners. But they said it made a difference. I want to be a part of a church that if we close the doors, it makes a difference in the community. They would miss us. If we're not doing anything, what are we here for? We got a great place out here to wash cars. We got water hookup here in the back. We got electric. We can vacuum. We could have young people come in. We could do a fundraiser and send them to Belize on a missions trip. We could send Allie back to Africa. Your mama's saying, hush your mouth. We got to start. That's what our vision statement is, changing lives one disciple at a time. Going out to the highways and hedges and compelling them to come in. But we've got to have commitment. It can't just be two or three of us, and it can't just be on Sunday. It's got to be every week. There's a difference in making a decision and making a commitment. I looked up, I've got a book by Charles Stanley he wrote called Confronting Casual Christianity. And he said in the book, he said, more than 50% of our marriages are ended in divorce. Why do you think this is happening? He said, because couples make a decision, but then one or the other or both do not keep the commitment. And I remember what you said. Remember you told me one time, you said, I never understood commitment. He said, you're stuck with him now. He said, she's stuck with me because he says, I understand commitment. And I remembered that. You're committed to one another. And the same is true in our body. I don't really like to use the word church, but in our body, in our fellowship, it's kingdom. And the reason we're not making more of an impact in our society is many church members, they make a decision about Christ, but they don't really want to make that commitment. When we're in the JCs, if we had somebody that joined, they paid $40. They had some investment in there. They wanted to do something with it. And, man, I tell you what, I want to do just like what we did as president of the JCs. I want to plug some people in. Greg came up to me last week. He got up off the floor, and he said, man, the Lord's just put a desire in me to do something. He said, can I do something with the young people or with the children or give me something to do? Man, I tell you what, if your pastor ain't got a vision, when people start coming to him, he'll get one. You know, that blessed me. I said, give me a minute, I'll think of something. You know, Lord, what can Greg do? Lord, what can Brother Ray do? What can Bertha do? What can Margie do? We're never too old. We're never too young. There's no junior Holy Spirit. We're all in this together. And I knew, especially when we were praying for a drummer, and I found Craig. sit down, Chase. My new best friend. And I knew when we needed prayed for a bass player, and it sent us Donald. And I knew it was really onto something when we said, man, we got to have a locksmith. And somebody said, there ain't no locksmith around here. And next week, Randy comes. And he spends a couple hours out here rekeying these locks so they all match now. One key's good for all doors, so you can actually park in the back and come through the back. And like, man, that was a blessing. I'm trying to think, what else do we need, Lord? We need laborers. We need laborers. I remember, I haven't flown a lot, probably a dozen times. But I'll never forget when we get on the tarmac and that plane turns, and you can see this thing's getting ready to take off. And man, he puts the pedal to the metal. And I'm thinking, this is it. But there's a commitment line where there ain't no turning back. You know, it's you're going to get off the ground or you're going to crash. There's a commit. It's too late to slow down now. It's time to get off the ground, church. It's time to get off the couch. It's time to get off the ground. And our churches, many of them, are filled with people that are still on the ground. They hadn't made that commitment to go Mach 2 with their hair on fire. Brother Ray burned his off. He's talking about that fire this morning. Joshua, man, I was gonna spend some time here, but Joshua was full of conquest and commitment. I'm not going to go into reading it, but whenever God calls someone to do a great task, it might seem trivial to some of us. It may seem like someone may think that it's trivial about the Lord sending us a locksmith, but that was a big deal to us. And then the locks ended up costing $112 to buy two locks. And the landlord said, I'll pay it. And he wrote us a check for $120, just rounded it up. And then the brother donated his time for a couple hours and doing it. That was a blessing to us. Now that we know, the former tenants don't even have a key. We're the only ones that have keys. That's a worry off my mind. Some things might even sound like it's not a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to the kingdom. And we all can't be a head or a hand, but all the parts of the body go together. And when someone's out, I miss them. I miss them. I miss you when you're out. In Joshua chapter 1, I'm not going to go through, but I was reading this last night, verses 6 through 9. And I read that, and three times in those four verses, God says, be strong and of good courage. The second time, he says, be strong and very courageous. Three times in four verses, he's saying, be strong and be of good courage. Be courageous. And you can't sit on the couch and be of strong and of good courage. You got to get off the couch to be committed, to really get out and to make a difference. And we want to make a difference in people's lives. We want to change, make disciples. Most times it's not a question, it's not a question of courage with some people. They've just got to have a vision. Listen, come to me, say, what can I do? I'll come up with something, trust me. We need to get together like we did last night. We had a great time here in our, I told you it was going to be a 20-minute business meeting that ended up being a couple hours, you know, and had some great ideas and some great things that came out of it. Courage is necessary as we actively engage in conquest and commitment. Conquest and commitment is trusting in God's power, not your own. Sometimes if it's difficult or uncomfortable, sometimes we don't want to consider it. But look at Joshua in chapter 3 as he enters the land and he trusts in the power of God, not in the power of the Jewish army. He trusts in the power of God. As they cross the Jordan, it's God who parts the waters. Remember, they were committed. We're going. They get to the water. They're committed. They're there. And they say, okay, God, just like I spoke a couple weeks ago about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, I believe that our God is going to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, it's okay. We're still here. We're committed. We are not turning around. We are not giving up. Amen. We're going forward in the fight. Unity. Thank you. That's a good word. Being in unity, in one accord. Amen. As they came to the walls, remember I was talking about Jericho and Rahab a few weeks ago. They came to the walls of Jericho, and God said, you know, they thought they were going to fight. God said, no, you just walk around it one time a day for 6 days, and the last day you walk around it, blow that shofar, shout, and the walls come tumbling down. God's, it's the same God that we serve. The same God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not the God of the Old Testament. It's the same God. And we've got that power. In fact, when Jesus left, what did he say? I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you. And greater things you will do. Say greater things. Greater things you will do than I, because I'm leaving my Holy Spirit with you. As Joshua nears death, there's still more conquest to take place. Listen, we can't do it by ourselves. We gotta have each other. We gotta have each other. That's why we came up with this. You know what I love about this? This thing is so outdated. It's what, a month old? And we've already got Greg and Jamie and Sarah and Randy and Beth and people that have came in, and I'm thinking, man, we got to make a new one of those things already. He added to the church daily. I don't care if we have to type that thing up every week. That's great. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll do it. We'll buy more paper. We've got to be not just committed. We've got to be dependable. Someone said, be so dependable that if you don't show up, they send flowers because they think you're dead. Man, if so-and-so doesn't show up when they say they'll be there, they got to be dead. We're sending flowers. I don't remember who said that statement, but Joshua was so dependable in many ways, even in his old age. Remember the Apostle Paul when he said, I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith, even in his old age, committed to the end. But there's so many that weren't committed fully. Look at Samson. Man, Samson was a great man of God. But he could have done so much more. Wasted so many years because the problem he had with Delilah. David, incredible man of God. But you know, Psalm 51, he says, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. He turned from his wicked ways, humbled himself and prayed and seek God's face. And kept on keeping on. All of Israel learned over the years to leave the world behind or suffer for it. Commitment is a willingness to step out of our comfort zone. We got to get out of our comfort zone sometimes to really be committed. And sometimes it needs to be renewed. We've got to, Moses called on his people for recommitment in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Recommitment to God. Joshua reminded the people in chapter 24 to recommit. Recommit. We've got to recommit. It's just like being refilled with the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we leak. And we got to refill us up. So we need to recommit to the Father. We need to examine our lives and our sinful influences so they can be eliminated. We've got to realize that we're flesh, we're flesh and bone, but we've got a God-shaped vacuum in here that only he can fill, and he will fill it. There's nothing else that will fill that like the Father. So I want you all to really recommit, not to a church, not to a building, not to a pastor, not to a calling in your church, not to a title, but recommit to the Father and ask the Father what you're to do. I've said this before, but for the new ones, I'll never forget when I was leading worship in another church and we went to Howard Morgan's conference, and he said, some people here are committed to a building. You've went to that same building for 50 years. He said, others of you are committed to a pastor. No matter where that pastor goes, you're going to follow. Some of you are committed to, your commitment is to a calling. I am a carpenter. I want to go to a church that needs me to build walls for them and paint them. I'm committed. I am the Sunday school superintendent where I go to church. I've got a title. He said, you're committed to something, but you got to be committed to the Lord. You got to be committed to the Father. to His Holy Spirit. That's where your commitment lies. Listen, it's not about numbers. It's not about building numbers. I want the people here that the Lord wants here. I want you. That's why we don't have a membership. We don't have you come up and promise to pay your tithes and be faithful here and shake hands. And we want you here if this is where you're to be. If God has a calling on everybody's life, and we love you, and I want to shepherd the flock. That's where my heart is. It's not really standing up here and man, I love to hear Brother Ray bring the word. I love to hear him preach. I love to hear Brother Jim and Mimi and I gotta say Marion. I love to hear Marion. She's the best one. I loved last week. Man, she did a good job last week teaching on the Holy Spirit. She did a fantastic job. What I really love is just loving on people. I'd love for y'all to call me up and say, come over to the house tonight for some chicken. A little hint. But seriously, speaking of chicken, well, thank you all for your commitment. Thank you. Many of you have went beyond and above and beyond the call of duty. Many of you have came out and stayed here till like 11:30 last night, I think, when I left. There were still some people here. Many nights we've been here till midnight, laying carpet or putting the snake on the wall. It's an audio snake. It's audio. That's what this long thing is called, a snake. But it's, I got to say that because this week some pastor died in West Virginia. He took up the serpent and must have lost his faith because he died. It's kind of sad because the guy's father was also bit by a rattlesnake and died. Now that's a clue. We don't handle snakes here, but. Craig was here one night to like after midnight with me helping do the snake. And Russ is laying carpet last night till late. Many of y'all have labored, and I just thank you so much. Mike and Janice have came out every Saturday and mopped and cleaned. And there's been so many of you that have really helped. And thank you. Thank you for your commitment and your dedication. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this group, this kingdom believers. Thank you for the giftings and the callings in each one. Stir them up, Lord. Stir the gifts up. Father, give me and Marion more vision of what you want to do at your place right here in Marion. And not just in Marion. Not just McDowell County, Mitchell County, Yancey, Avery, Buncombe, Burke County, and under the uttermost parts of the earth, Father. We want to make disciples. We don't want to just bring people in and count noses and take up an offering. But Father, we want to change lives. One disciple at a time. So give us that vision, Father. Open the doors. Send us laborers, Father. Send us those that we can minister to. We put legs on our prayers, Father. We're going to go out the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Father, I bless each one under the sound of my voice. I bless them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. We bless their families, their children, their grandchildren. We lift up Cindy's father to you right now in the hospital. And we pray for healing for him, Father, in Jesus' name. We know the doctors say that if he has the surgery, he'll be paralyzed. We don't receive that. We don't receive the report of men. We receive the report of the Lord in Jesus' name. We pray for Papa Jay and heal him, Father. Raise him up, Lord Jesus. We stand in the gap for him. We lift up a standard of the blood of Jesus, or Jesus' name. Pray for your instant healing on him. Just make a house call, Lord. You're the great physician. Just make a house call to 109 Valley Street in Black Mountain. Touch him this morning. Let him feel your arms of love. Let him feel your healing touch, Lord, in Jesus' name. Play some music. Amen. Jason. Thank you. Tony's been doing a website and putting on the website a lot of events. Amber, God bless you as you work today. We love you. The website is hisplaceoutreach.org. Hisplaceoutreach.org. And it's on the, that's right, it's on the back of our new business cards. There's tons of business cards. We got 1,000 right here in a box. If you, and we've got some back at the door, so come and get all you want. And pass them out. Don't litter them, litter them on the street, but lay them out where people can find them. Give them to your friends. Invite them. Tell them, hey, the Holy Spirit is real. His power is real. The song we sang, something's gonna happen here. Because if we've got to be a church on fire, we don't want to be a part of it. We have a lot of giftings and a lot of talents and a lot of callings here. And we serve a great God. And there's a lot of people out there that are hurting. And we need to help. Amen. Anybody have anything to add? Anything? Okay. Jason, come up. Come up, bless the food. And then the guys, when you get done, I'll tell the guys what we're going to do.
Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your grace. Lord, your abundant grace. We thank you for this family that you put together, Lord. We thank you for the army that we are. Lord God, we thank you for a vision. We thank you most of all, Lord, for your sacrifice for us, because you loved us so much, Father, to reach down and pick us up out of our pit. And Father, we just glorify your name. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, and the suffering that he went through so that we wouldn't have to. And Lord, thank you that you've made us the beneficiary. Lord, the inheritance belongs to us. Though we didn't deserve it, Lord, you've given it to us to have here and now. Father, we thank you for the fellowship today. We thank you for the word. We thank you for this awesome worship. We thank you for this food, Father. We ask that you bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. Bless us to your service, Lord. Bless the hands that prepared it, Father. We ask it all in Jesus' name.